Hello, hello, hello. Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the Jane Speaks podcast. I would like to, first of all, thank you guys for the last episode. I see your love. I could see that a few more of you listened. Thank you. So today, I'm just going off on a whim here, and I wanted to talk about homosexuality in the church. It's something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. I know I say this a lot, but yeah, I have been planning this for a long time, okay? And there's just a lot of things that have been on my list that I want to talk about. And homosexuality in church is something that I want to touch on just briefly. I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but it's just come to me and I'm just going to talk about it, okay? Let's just talk about it, okay? Right, I don't even know where to start. I have seen several instances, you know, of this in the church. I mean, not church that I know, but church in the Hollywood world. I remember watching, you know, the series. Oh God, it's just gone off my head now. Amen. It was this one with the Grace, Pastor Gigi. Oh my God, the one Oprah Winfrey's network. Okay, I'm sure you guys know it. The song alone is the one. I can't remember. Oh my days, what a shame. I cannot remember that series, but it was to do with it was to do in a church. It was to do it in a church environment where you know, all the business that goes on in the church and things like that, and this pastor, the reverend, oh my, everything's just gone off my head now. I'm so sorry, but I'm pretty sure that you guys can figure it out at the end. Yeah, it was to do with that, you know, this church business and things like that. And you know, there was a particular episode there where there was the choir master, someone to do with the choir. He was part of the choir. He was actually gay, and that was a bit of an issue, obviously. And yeah, and it's like I kind of like the way they navigated that, you know. But obviously, the pastor being the, you know, the more older generation, they were feeling somewhat about, you know, and there's this board of directors or whatever in the church, board of trustees, that's what they call them. They are the one that run the church. I think, as we all know, that they are, it's not even the pastor. They are the one that run the church. They are the one that make the decisions for the church. So yeah, obviously the older generation, they feel a bit, you know, thinking about it, but it all sort of resolved one way or the other. And I like the way they did that, because it's something that, whether we like it or not, is present in the church, whether we know it or not. I personally think even in African churches, these things are there. And I don't know, it's something that I'll probably have to bring someone else over to talk about. But I believe a lot of us Africans, we frown against it. And let me get it straight as well, the Bible frowns against homosexuality, and it frowns against it as well. And it is not something that the Bible condones, just like divorce also is not something that the Bible condones, and many other things that has suddenly become the norm in this world that the Bible doesn't condone. But obviously, there has been all these things, a lot of these things that, you know, the Bible was strictly against, has suddenly, you know, become the normal thing in this world. And it's like doing these things now is nothing, it's just norm. Whereas the Bible, which is still alive after millions of years, maybe thousands of years, is still very good and alive. And we still hear the same thing that's been said back in those days. And the funny thing that we need to realize is that even back in those days, when we hear about the story of the Sodom and Gomorrah, these things were still present back in those days as well. Like way, can you imagine how long ago, you know, the Bible was written, and the times of Abraham and things like that. That's so long, way before Jesus was born. And we always talk about Jesus over 200,000 years ago, whatever. Imagine even way before him, you know. So this is something that has been happening long, long, long before then. So, but I am going to just say what I think, okay? It's just what I think and what I believe. But hopefully, maybe I'll be able to bring someone on who we can also hear from them as well, what they think as well, and we can digest it a bit further. But I think it's not something that should be going on for a long time. But there's a few things I would just want to say when it comes to homosexuality in the church. I feel like, I mean, I don't know, that's the thing, that because I feel like when it comes to us as human beings, or even as African, or even as Christians, we feel like if we don't talk about it, it's not there. But it is. That is the thing. It is there. But because we don't talk about it, does not mean it's not there. It is there. It is there. And it's knowing how to navigate around it, you know. And I feel like, personally, the first way and the best way is to know that the Church of God, which we know already, is an hospital. Is a place where the sick, both the sick and the healthy, are in. Okay, they all mix and come together, or the supposedly healthy, they look healthy but they probably end up healthy, you know. And it's also where the doctors and the nurses are as well, the people that are going to treat them, that is where they are. You will find them too. So there is a mixture of everybody there. So we need to know that it's budget, and that we need to accept that, yes, people, that is the reason why people are in church. To receive healing, you know, to be accepted, and to give, also for you to give that acceptance, to give that care, to give that love that they need as well, you know. So that's one thing I feel like we need to be aware of, you know. And now, it's up to everyone's discretion of how they want to deal with such situation. But the thing is that we should not close our eyes to it and ignore it. Because ignoring it will not make it go away. It will still be there. So I think that's just another thing. Now, I believe in the Word of God and I believe what the Bible says. You may want to come for me and things like that, but I'm going to stick with what I believe. But it does not mean that I hate anyone who is that. You know, that's the thing. What we preach in the Word of God, what we preach in the Bible, is that to love one another. That is the ultimate goal, love. So what doesn't matter who they are, what they do, whatever, we are to love them and pray for them. So we are, and that we are not to put, we are not to push them away. So I think, I personally think that's just the long and short of it, really. That is the sum of it. But ignoring it would not help. Ignoring them would not help the situation. We are to accept and love them and pray for them. And I know in the case of that series, which I just can't remember, he was in a position of a higher position, obviously, being a choir leader and things like that. Ooh, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's up to the pastor's discretion of how they want to deal with it. Because I cannot say much about that. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. I have not been given such anointing to say much of that. But what I think is, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, when it comes to whether be it in the church or whatever, I feel like everyone's talent should be appreciated, you know, should be appreciated. But I feel like a leadership role is a very key role. It sets the space, it sets the pace of anything, it sets an example. Whoever is in a leadership role, especially in the Church of God, It's not an easy thing. It's a big thing. It's not just, you shouldn't look at it as, oh, I'm just a, no, it's not. It's a very vital position that you shouldn't take for granted. So I feel like when it comes to a leadership role in the church, you have to be, just have to be careful. That's all. You have to be careful of what you are setting as an example for others to follow. That's just all I'm going to say about that. So as much as I would appreciate that we want to appreciate the gift and the talent that everybody has, but when it comes to a leadership role, we have to be very careful, okay? We have to be very, very careful, because it's especially, even in any secular world, a leadership role is a big role, okay? It is a big role, and it is very important when you become a manager or a team leader. You are in a big role there, you know, that's why they pay you more. So also when it comes to the Church of God, it's a big role. It's a big show you're entering. It's not just on a physical level, it's also on a spiritual level. So that's the thing. So you have to be careful who you put in there and what they do and what they represent, you know. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. But it is always important to, no matter who they are, whether they, you know, whatever they may be, it's always important to also appreciate their skills and encourage them, you know, with their skills. So yeah, I just feel like, yeah, wherever we are, whether it be in the church or whether, we need to love people and be kind to people. And I think that's the key. I mean, Jesus even showed us examples, you know, when he will go and sit among the, you know, other people that the Pharisees will be looking at. Now, why is he sitting among these people? Why is he eating among these people? Especially when Mary, the woman, came and washed his feet with her tears and cleaned it with her hair, and then put the alabaster box, the oil to, well, you know, people were judging God, Jesus, that why would they allow her? How was, you know, God, because he cast out how many demons from her? You know, God, Jesus gave us an example of loving and accepting people for who they are, or despite what they are, or despite who they are, to just love and accept them. And I think that is what we are to do as well as Christians. No matter who they are, we have to love people. They are people, because at the end of the day, this is someone that God has created. They may have one thing or the other going on, but this is someone that God created, and there's nothing that God cannot do. But you need to start, for you to want to heal someone, for you to want to take care of someone, you need to have that compassion in you. And Jesus was an example. He was full of compassion. He was someone that was full of compassion. So we need to have, it starts with compassion. Because once you have compassion on someone, you would want to help them. You want to take care of them. And that for me, is the key. So this is going to be short and snappy. I thought I was going to talk a long, but to be honest with you, there isn't really much. At the end of it, though, there isn't really much to say about this. It's just basic. But all I just know is that we should not ignore it. We should not ignore it. And we should just handle everything in love and care. And then we take it from there. Okay? That's the thing. We just take it from there. There's nothing God cannot do. But I feel like the older generation have gotten this judgmental, closed-mindedness to a lot of things. You know, we cannot control what goes on in the world, but we can control our actions and our reactions to it, you know, and that's the best way. And we can also control our attitude as well. So that's the only thing, you know, we can't control what happens. It's the devil. He throws different things into the world, or, you know, we can't control what happens in the world. There are many things that goes on in this world. We cannot control it, but we can control how we act, you know, and react, and our attitude to it. And I think that's just the key. That is how we can heal the world. Okay, this is where I'm gonna leave you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye bye.